Good morning, Rangers. We are back with the second semester of the 2025-2026 school year. And as always, I am your host, Andre Cornejo, and this is the Jesuit Ranger podcast. Today, I am very blessed to be joined by two incredibly talented juniors, Max Galante and Ian Skirchley. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Great. Let's just start off by, I guess, I know I already introduced y'all a little bit, but giving us a little more, maybe introducing the projects I worked on, Ian, introducing Night Hunter, Max, Charrington Hall. Ian, if you want to start.
Okay. Hi, everyone. As Andre said, my name is Ian Skirchley. I'm a junior here at Jesuit. Night Hunter has been technically under development since 2024, but officially since 2025. So yeah, it was a little project of mine that me and my neighborhood friends wanted to make, and then it turned into a full short film. So yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Nice. Hey guys, my name is Max Galante. I am the writer and director behind the one act Charrington's Hall. That kind of came into fruition around May of last year. Typically we have one acts for Jesuit in the winter, but this year, since we're having them in Ursuline in April, we kind of had a gap that we needed to fill. So I talked to Patterson about bringing back the student double feature. And that's kind of where it'll start.
Awesome. And so I know that these were more or less learning experiences for you, Max. If I'm correct, this was your first original show.
Yes.
And Ian, this was your first film,
yeah,
correct?
Correct.
So, Max, compared to film, since I know that's more or less your forte, how did this compare? What was different for you?
I'd say, I mean, all of it kind of boils down to the writing process. I didn't really struggle as much because it's a basic script format, but a big thing that you have to think about a lot with plays rather than film is that every single word that you say, it has to have some sort of intention behind it. Because something that Mr. Patterson had told me was, you know, you're actually going to be in a room watching a person talk. You can't, you know, people can't be as subtle. You can't, you know, cut to shots of random things. Like, you're just in that room and you have to get the audience to look at this particular person when they're talking or look at this particular moment. And it's really how you shape your words to kind of, you know, point the camera. And then also you have to think about in the writing process, like, where every actor is, where every prop is. Because like I said, again, it's not cuts. There aren't scenes. There are scenes, but it's not like in the sense of film and everything. You have to have a lot more intention behind it, like, you know, oh, he exited the left, now he has to enter on the left. Oh, this prop was over here, now I need to do something to get it to this other side of the stage. And so it was mainly that in the writing process. And then when it came to directing, it was pretty, I mean, having been acting in theater for quite some time, it was.
I'm sure that helped. Ian, I mean, I know that you've worked with Max and you've known Max for a while now, but still, how was writing Night Hunter a learning experience for you?
A lot of it was just, honestly, just taking inspiration from books a lot, because, you know, when I was a kid, I would read a lot of books. I don't as much anymore. But the writing process was fairly easy for me, solely because of the amount media that I've consumed over the past, like, 17 years of my life. So the writing part was fairly easy. What I found struggling was more like the editing process itself. The directing was sort of, again, it was easy, you know, having been on, you know, film sets before, having been on sets of documentaries, and having been on Max's set, you know, for Highbinder and for 64, you know, that was sort of how I shaped that directing experience, but the editing, I think, was the most challenging one.
Yeah. So you said that you drew some inspiration from media or books.
Yeah.
You care to share any?
Well, neo-noir films, I think, were the biggest inspiration for Night Hunter. I think, you know, films like Taxi Driver, Batman, really, really big inspirations of mine. And also, like, you know, the Batman animated series and a lot of, you know, comic book characters were a big inspiration for this. And also just like, I drew a lot from things that I've struggled with in my life, you know, anger and learning to be patient, and also, you know, issues with family. And I think a lot of that expressed itself gracefully. And I'm glad I have it.
Staying with inspiration. Next, Charrington's Hall follows sort of a failing theater troupe. That's kind of a strange, or like something that not a lot of people talk about, that era of transition. What inspired you to create a show on that?
Well, the main thing for me is I've been doing film and theater for quite a long time, and I drew a lot from my own personal conflict between the two, because there have been, you know, shows that I've had to skip to do a film, films that I've had to, you know, put on hold to do a show. And also just in the college process, going in, trying to figure out what I want to do. I've always known that I wanted to write, but a lot of it was that central conflict between, do I want to be a screenwriter or do I want to be a playwright? You know, do I want to do this film or do I want to do this theater? And so when I was writing, I was like, who better to encompass this than these, you know, the Great Depression was one of the biggest surges of film in history. That's when it all became popular, because people went there to escape. And so, obviously, who knows better than that transition or that conflict with, you know, people who used to be in the golden age of theater, you know, where, you know, this was one of the main forms of entertainment that people went to go see. But then now that, you know, with the Depression, people had to transition, they had to figure out other ways to kind of pivot around that. And so I think each character kind of represented, you know, some part of me, with like Matthew, or for example, Diane, she wants to go to the motion pictures, and that's all she wants to do. But then you have Richard, who all he wants to do is act in theater. He wants nothing to do with the motion pictures. And then you have Matthew, who's in the middle, who all he wants to do is act. That's all that he wants to do. And so I think each part of that was, you know, just a different part of my brain. You know, Richard, the part saying like, you know, are you sure you want to do film? I mean, you have more experience in theater, you know, do you really think you can make it out there? Diane, that fact where it's like, do you really want to limit yourself to theater? And then Matthew was really that part of me that was like, can I actually do this? You know, do I have the strength to go out there and just put myself on the line for what I like, no matter what? And so that's kind of where all the inspiration came from.
Wow, that's awesome. So I know y'all both kind of mentioned how both of these projects were more or less tied to more personal issues. Max, you struggling going into college, choosing between playwrights and screenwrights. Ian, you problems with family, anger issues. How did these projects sort of provide some sort of consolation or help you learn a little more about yourself, Max, with your college process, or even just about yourself in general?
That's a great question. So I think that through Grayson and through journey that he undergoes, a lot of people that read the script, they were all like, oh, but his character arc is complete. That makes perfect sense. And I guess that was the tension, because it's meant to be left as a warning that vengeance and that, you know, taking people's lives, or it can be anything. It doesn't have to be killing someone. It can be as simple as like, oh, my friend took my pencil and I'm going to go hit him, right? It can be, yeah, it can build, things like that can build to later into more larger and bigger issues. And I think that it sort of helped me learn that, like, it's important to think before you act on anything.
Yeah.
And it sort of helped me manage things that I've gone through, because I had a very difficult 2025, and a big part of how I was able to deal with things that I was going through, you know, it was through film, and it was through sort of how, kind of like how Max said, how people used to escape themselves and these forms of art and these forms of media. I was able to do that with Nightmare, and I think it just provided sort of like a almost like a therapeutic experience, to where it was like, I was able just to, you know, lock myself in one place, really do what I love. And then through Knight Hunter, I was also able to find what I wanted to do the rest of my life, because I was, for a long time, I didn't know what I, like Max, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but it was a lot of things, more than theater and film. Through this project, and, you know, like, the amazing people like you, Andre, Dave, Audrey, all of y'all that were part of that, y'all sort of, you know, inspired me and, you know, made me realize that, wow, like, this is a really amazing career path. Like, although it, like, doesn't make much money initially, I've sort of come to realize that that doesn't really matter as long as you're doing it.
I love that. Max, in what ways did this provide some personal insight?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest thing going into it is I just came off of Highbinder, and initially it's not my favorite film that I've done. I mean, I'm proud of all the work that I've done, but, you know, I treat every film, every project, you know, a draft, and through every single one, I learned something new. And after Highbinder, I was just kind of in a slump, because I was questioning my writing ability, and a lot of people would come to me for help with films and stuff like that. But then I started to question, like, are people coming to me for help, or are they coming to me because I have the equipment? Are they coming to me because I have the camera, the sound equipment, whatever? Or do they actually want some insight to, you know, what I've learned over the past 3 years? And so going into that, this first semester of junior year, I was just kind of, I remember I was writing scripts left and right. And I wasn't really writing for fun. I was writing more to just, okay, what's my next project? What's my next thing? I gotta get this next thing done. And I had all these plans, like I was gonna do a film a semester, but then I realized that, you know, rushing into these things, getting to a point where I didn't even really enjoy the writing and it felt more like a chore was bad. And so then that's kind of when I just started writing for fun. And when I started writing for fun, that's where Charrington's Hall came from. And it's weird because, you know, Mr. Vaughn and Mr. Patterson, they sat me down after the show and they were like, Max, we think this is the best thing you've written out of all the projects you've done, all the projects you've been a part of. And they told me, they were like, we really think that if you put the time into it, you can develop this play into full length play and have some success with it. Which, honestly, I'm still trying to figure out the outcome of that, because I've been so obsessed with film and films. And then I do the first play I've done, and the people who have surrounded me, you know, whose opinions that I care about, have told me it's the best thing I've written. So it's like, is playwriting the way to go for me? But then I've thought about it more, and I've just kind of realized that it's all about writing. All I want to do is writing. You know, that's my, you know, it started off as an escape, something that helped me with, you know, all the problems that I was going through. And it helped me learn that when you're rushing things, when you're trying to get things out just for the sake of getting them out, that's when you start to, you know, struggle. That's when you start to not enjoy it. Then once you take the time to be like, it's okay for me to take a break. It's okay for me to, you know, not be working on anything right now. That's when I kind of realized I love writing. And as long as I take the time and make sure that I'm enjoying it, then no matter what area I go into, I'll find success.
Wow, that's awesome that you found a way to kind of keep work and leisure blended in a way that keeps you motivated. I think that's awesome. And I also love how y'all both mentioned sort of these art forms as an escape or as sort of therapeutic in a way. Me personally, with my time in theater, I've definitely felt that too. Moving on, is there any moment during production of Knight Hunter, or during rehearsals or showings of Charrington Hall that you feel sort of encapsulate the whole experience for you?
I think near the end there, well, the very last scene, very last shot, actually, Night Hunter is, you know, in the flashback where Grayson's little kid. And I think that encapsulates the whole thing. It's, we all have, you know, childhood traumas. We all have things from our childhood that we carry with us throughout our entire life. And I feel like the significance of Grayson remembering that in the moment is sort of the realization that, you know, he never grew up. Because vengeful people and people who are violent are usually stuck in a specific moment in their life, and they can't escape from that. They can't escape from the fact that they were hurt or that other people whom they loved were hurt. And I see that, like, you know, through myself and, you know, my family, that sometimes we are just so stuck on a specific moment in our lives that we don't learn to appreciate the things. And I think it was Saturday night where in the credits, you know, my great friend Rodrigo, who unfortunately passed away last year, his family came, and they were in the audience. Once his name came up in the credits, because I put, you know, in loving memory, Rodrigo Huereca, credits, the whole theater started cheering again. I think my mom started crying. I started crying a bit there because, you know, he lives on through the, I made a promise to his brother that with every film that I make, you know, I'll put him in credits because, you know, he actually helped me write the first draft of Nightmare. Like the one that was made in like 2024 on CapCut. He was one of the main guys that was in that. He helped me develop the story, and it's awesome to see that, you know, even though he's not with us anymore, you know, he still lives on for the work that we
do. Yeah, I think I met him during one of the near the end of one of the film days during Night Hunter. I could tell how much he meant to you. So it's beautiful that you honored him through this film. Everything that you'll do next.
I guess for me, one moment that perfectly, whatever, encapsulates Charrington's Hall is, I'd say right before it starts. You know, because I remember, you know, the pre-show lights were on, I just came from backstage, everyone was right out of warm-ups, everyone was buzzing, excited, nervous, especially Friday night, and we had opened the doors, and it was like 15 minutes before, and no one was in the audience except for like one guy, Levi. And me and Mr. Vaughn looked at each other, and we were like... And then like 1 minute before the show started, you know, I looked back out into the audience, and it was nearly full. And, you know, me and Mr. Patterson were like... I was surprised. I thought we were going to get like one-third of the people who showed up, and it was almost like nearly every seat was filled that Friday night. And it was just that buzz, you know, everyone waiting. Like, I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. I was like, oh, crap, we're not ready for this. I'm so nervous, and I was like, this could be the, you know, another milestone in my career, or it could be the end of it. It also just, it paralleled to that uncertainty that, like, the troupe was going with film, you know? And that's why I think it just, it's the one moment that just showcases the entire show. It's just, it's right before it starts, and everyone has no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea what my actors are going to do. I have no idea what Taylor Ripley's going to do. And it just, that was the moment where it was like, I'm so happy I'm doing this, and at the same time, I'm like, why the hell am I doing this?
Yeah.
And that just perfectly is like the moment that like that is Charrington Saul. That's every project I've ever done. It's that moment right before, you know, right before the lights dim, right before the show goes on. That's where it is all at.
That's awesome. So Ian, you mentioned that you want to continue doing films. Is there anything in the works currently for you?
There's a couple ideas there, but right now I'm doing Mr. Patterson's filmmaking class. An idea that I have for that is this short film. It's going to be about like 5 minutes, called Photograph. And I think right now, me and my friend Pablo, Rodrigo's brother, we're writing it. And it's going to be a film about grief, loss, and, you know, how we deal with that. Yeah, it's, you know, short, sweet, 5 minutes, nothing too complicated. But yeah, it's also a good way to, you know, officially honor him in a full-length sort of project.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be good.
Yes. And Max, I saw earlier this week that you are also have something in the works.
I guess film-wise, the soonest thing that's coming up is February 6th during the Hope Squad prayer service. We'll be showcasing a film called 64, and that's another film about mental health, especially, you know, people, you know, feeling like their grades determine the type of person they are. After that, we have an untitled war film with Gabriel Miller and Alex Ramsey, which will hopefully be done shooting by the end of the year. I mean, sorry, end of the school year. Hopefully. And I'm working on a feature-length film with an alumni, Jason Petruzzos. He wrote the script. I'm going to be directing it. That's going to be shooting over the summer. And writing-wise, I'm just kind of going with the flow, maybe trying to work out an opera in there. Just trying to keep my
Well, that's all I really have. Is there any final words that y'all would like to share, or any final message?
I actually wanted to ask you a question.
Oh no,
because I know you know, you obviously started that. Like Richard and Charrington's Hall. How do these two projects sort of like change your view on, you know, media and film and plays in general, or even just how do they change you as a person?
Gosh, I hate talking about myself. That's why I host this. Man, I think I really loved playing these characters. I know that we joked a lot during the production of both that I always get these loud, mean characters. And that's kind of just the vibe I give off. But I really loved playing Grayson, especially because like you mentioned, I've dealt with like issues with anger and family problems. So I felt that this was a way to sort of express myself in a more genuine way. And with Richard, I think sort of this like fear of change is something that me going into college next year, something that I've sort of been tussling with. So I think both of these really helped me deal with things that have sort of not been necessarily weighing down, but that have been on my mind. So they were also just so much fun. Loved playing Grayson, loved that entire day that we had to do all the fight scenes. I loved your show, Max. Loved that you gave me the ability to just yell on stage for 5 minutes straight. It's pretty fun. But I mean, they're honestly beautiful experiences, and I love every last moment working with y'all.
Thank you for having us on your podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thanks. Yes, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Jesuit Ranger podcast. I hope to see you all again soon. Bye-bye.